Jonathan, we got the plugin review queue down to zero. We did it.
Did you do it, or did you just use AI to do it?
Oh, that's the topic. That is the topic. You hit it. Well, let me first of all say the review queue is currently at 82.
Okay.
And it wasn't me who did it. It was actually, we've had some new plugin review contributors on board recently, and they have been fantastic. We have also had just absolutely crazy numbers of plugin submissions. Okay. And I mean, maybe we could talk about how this is going to affect the plugin repo. But
right. So I feel like there's some context missing here, because if it's like, if you're down to zero, how many were coming in? For those who haven't been following, like, are we talking about 10 a month or that are coming in? Is it
last
more than
week?
That?
Last week, we had 759 submissions. That was an all time record. The same week, 1 year ago, 226.
Okay. So
we're
almost
3x. 150.
Yep. Wow. Okay.
So if
that's
you go
a pretty
back,
big bump.
Yeah. It is crazy. The amount of plugin submissions we're receiving is crazy, but the plugin team has not only onboarded a few new team members who are really making a difference, but also using a lot of automated tooling to get through plugin reviews faster, including AI.
Now, by your guess, what do you think is the percentage of submissions that are like done with AI? Are we talking like 2%, like 3%?
Why do you keep lowballing? No, like 90%, something like that, 80%, very high. I mean, yeah, I honestly, okay. I enjoy plugin review, Jonathan.
Okay. Yes.
And I'm good at it.
Luke, what is it that you enjoy about it before we go any further?
Well, the reason why I got into it in the first place is because I'm a teacher. I'm an educator. And I really am passionate about teaching people to write good code. Right? That's what I'm passionate about.
Why do I need to write good code? I can have AI do it for me now.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm like rethinking my entire existence. But you know what?
What?
I really think that there is, that people are starting to wake up to the cognitive atrophy.
Ooh.
That happens when you vibe code.
Okay.
Yes, you can just vibe code, but you know what? You're not going to be as good as you used to be. That code skill that you have, it requires regular practice. It's not frozen in time, always accessible. If you don't use it, you lose it.
And, okay. I have all sorts of questions about that. Like, is that really a problem or is that not? But you're in such a unique vantage point being like in the plugin team and seeing this firsthand. I'm first curious, like with that kind of volume, what type of stuff are we seeing? Or are these like, what types of plugins are coming?
So let's go in that direction, because I don't think it's good. I say what you want about AI code, but what we're seeing at the moment is just a flood of plugins all doing the same thing.
Okay.
Right. Cookie plugins. We're just getting dozens of them every day. How many cookie plugins does the WordPress plugin repo need?
And are we talking about like recipes for like chocolate chip?
No,
are we talking?
Oh, don't be dumb.
Okay, that was too much.
Yeah, that was too much. You crossed the line, Jonathan.
Okay, so that's a great example. There's a problem. People are frustrated with, I presume, I'm just guessing here. They're like, oh, I have an idea for a better implementation. Or are people just following a tutorial? Like you remember back in the early days where it's like, oh, I want to make a plugin. And,
we don't let tutorial plugins on the repo, actually.
It used to be
back in the day when it was like 100 to 150 plugins per week being submitted. It was a smaller team. And because it was a smaller team, it was much easier to recognize, oh, all of a sudden we're seeing a whole bunch of similar plugins being submitted. And then we go, oh, they all are basically the same code. What's going on here? Oh, it's a tutorial someone's following online. We find the tutorial and we just reply and say, hey, thanks for submitting, but we're not accepting the submissions from this particular tutorial. We've got enough on this. And so we've started talking now about, well, let's keep a list of types of plugins maybe we don't accept, like cookie plugins. So, yeah.
And what's at the heart of what, from what you're able to infer, like, why are people submitting them for the review?
I have no idea. What do you think? Why would why would you vibe code a plugin and then think, I have no idea how this code works or what it looks like or if it's any good, but you know what? I think I'll share it with everybody and make people review it too.
Right, right. And get some volunteers involved and give me feedback that I probably won't read. Now that, which is cynical.
No, it's 100% right though. Like, it's not probably won't read. It's absolutely don't read and just pass straight on to the AI. So, I mean, all right, whatever, Jonathan, I'm over it.
Okay. Okay. So with that kind of volume, go ahead.
No, how much do people want to listen to a podcast episode where I just complain? You know what I mean though? Like I think we're running into issues on the repo about like finding plugins and plugin discovery. But do you know the most frustrating thing is that definitely going to be, we'll solve it with AI. That's just how it's going to be. We're going to solve it with AI. We'll find an AI way of fixing it. And that sucks, I think. It's just like, it's recursive and it's a waste of resources. It's inefficient. Yeah.
Was this great meme about using Opus, whatever, 4.8 to... using Opus to, I forget what the check was, but it was just like super basic calculation, generate a random number for you or something like that, where it's like, which that's not the example anyway. Of all these submissions that are coming in, how many are actually getting approved? Or is a lot of the just noise that you're having to like push back out?
They're mostly getting approved.
Really? So we have hundreds of cookie plugins right now?
Yep. Absolutely.
Oh. Okay.
It's exciting. Nuts. Here's what I was thinking. Tell me what you think. And actually, Crossword listeners, genuinely, reach out. We can find us on our post status. We have a channel on post status Slack. Or just email me. And
is email still a thing? They should have their agent to my RSS send you a message.
Yeah. Like. I really want to know, what do you think about if there was a way of submitting a plugin to the repo that bypassed any AI checks and was manually reviewed by a volunteer, myself, who didn't use any AI tools in the process? On the condition that you promise you didn't use AI to generate your plugin. Do you think that people would, is that something people want? An AI-free path? You know, like when I go to a WordCamp, I have the option of ordering any kind of meal I want, right? Like you might order a vegetarian meal, Jonathan, or if I go to whatever, like if I'm catching a flight, I'm going to order a kosher meal. I have that option.
Yeah.
Should we offer in-flight AI preferences?
I think I can see where this is going, and I feel like there's this slow but steady like role reversal of types that you and I are undergoing as time goes on here, because I feel like you're setting yourself up to be this like get off my lawn like relic of the past like kind of guy.
No, I hate that framing. I really want to push back against that.
Please.
Like a relic of the past, maybe. But I am so sick and tired of people saying, oh, AI's here, we got to adopt it. We have to, you know, we can't put our head in the sand about it. We just have to go with the times. This is all there is now. Everything's AI. We just have to adopt it or we'll be left behind. People say that all the time. You're going to be left behind if you don't have it. I hate that. No, we have agency here. And poll after poll after poll shows that the public do not like AI tools. It's just us in our little tech bubble. It's just Matt Mullenweg who's obsessed with them. But we have the agency to say, we reject this technology. We do it all the time, you know? Like, for better or worse, I think for worse, we rejected nuclear. I don't know what it's like in the States. In Australia, we don't have any nuclear power plants, right?
That is
a decision that we made. And we can make the same thing about AI. And if you look at public sentiment, it kind of seems like we're already going down that track. So don't tell me I'm an old man and I'm just telling people to get off my lawn. No, I'm a progressive. No, I'm okay. I'm a revolutionary waving the anti-AI
pun maybe flag. Intended. How are you using or not using AI, like, in your current, like, life?
You know, I've begun to think of any time I use AI as taking a loan from the bank.
Okay.
I'm using AI about half as much as I did 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
Because I've had this mindset shift that everything I want to do that AI does for me, it makes me worse at it, right? So something as simple as searching. I used to use AI a lot to just get me an answer to this query I had. You know, like Australasian, there's these two kinds of black birds that hang around near where I live. There's the Australian raven and the Terrasian or something, a crow. And I wanted to be able to tell them apart. Which one's which? What does it mean when the eye is white versus when it's black? Is that an indication that it's a juvenile? I could have asked AI that and gotten an answer really quickly. But I'm realizing that my ability to search for this information online is actually deteriorating. I'm not as good or fast at getting these answers as I used to be. And that's a decision I've made. I don't want to be... I don't want to be bad at that.
Searching for things in the past, though, was that not just putting something into Google?
Kagi, yeah, that's right. And that's a skill, right? That's a skill. To search an index is a skill. A better example, actually, is academic research. I recently did some work where I was synthesizing research. I was gathering a bunch of research, a bunch of evidence around education and AI, and having a look at what the trends were. And I asked ChatGPT, can you do this research for me? And just go and find any academic articles, and it has, like, you know, the academic mode or whatever, and find everything I need in this topic, and I gave it filters and parameters or whatever. And it did a good job, actually. And I got these results. There was probably 20 usable papers from it that I could combine. I'm doing all the talking on this one, Jonathan. And at the end of it, I thought, wow, ChatGPT is really good at this. I got a great result. But then I just had a second thought. And I mean, this is actually not really my point, but I went and did it manually. And I realized, oh, no, ChatGPT's result isn't as good as I first thought. It would have been very easy to go, oh, I'm very happy with this. I'm going to run with it. But it really wasn't as good as if I did it myself. And the thing is, if I want to be able to do my own research, if I want to be able to search through databases of journals and find relevant articles, that's a skill I don't want to lose.
So I am noticing, Luke, that in my own experience, I have what I would describe as like an inherent distrust, not in like so much a negative way, but like I question the results that I get. From AI output.
That's
and
a good first
this
step.
Sort of driving, like, what's the primary source for that? Like, I'll ask a question, or more often I'm presented with something that's the result of AI, like in the work that I'm doing. And then my initial question is like, okay, what's the source? Like, how do I know this? And I'm curious to see if that's something that actually changes. I saw the other day, I thought of you, Luke. I got a notification from Core that there's a new merge proposal for the WP Knowledge, and I started to read it, and I'm intrigued. We'll get into it more, maybe in a future episode.